Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hola! Do you want to hear more of The Men's Room?
Subscribe to the Best of The Men's Room podcast on radio.com.
Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Hola, Pacholas! Welcome to episode 3 of The Greatest Story Never Told. The first one was cocaine, episode 2 was kidnapping, episode 3 we will simply title banana.
I will say this, though, this will be the first one we've done. As we reflected on this through the weeks, we said, you know, we basically admitted to felonies. So we might as well do this one before we end up getting arrested.
Yeah, this is lying to the bosses in a big kind of way.
So, no, that is not true.
Yeah, well, no, we were somewhat honest. A different time in radio, in the 90s, radio, we our show, Out to Lunch, which was what it was called in Baltimore, came on after the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
At this point in time, Howard was still doing the lesbian dating game. Radio was a little bit more aggressive. It was not Me Too, to say the least. You know, it was just one of those things. Now, the first time that I worked at CBS in Baltimore, and Steve, you will know this to be a fact, my studio was located in the JFK AM studio in the very back corner.
Really? That was
the original studio of the cult. The studios in there were absolutely horrible. Nothing had been done in this building. It was just, it was what it was. They did the best they could.
No, they didn't. No, they did not.
Second time around, I'm not going to trash CBS Baltimore, too bad. Second time, I'm hired there. So I work somewhere else for a while, come back, start working with Steve. At this point in time, they have completely redone the studios at CBS Baltimore.
Yes.
And, you know, all things considered about all the negative stuff that we say about that place, and since then, the guy who was in charge of that cheapened out and moved because he didn't want to pay rent. But when you walked into the lobby of this radio station, it was like a giant horseshoe. So if I'm a guest, if I'm someone who wants tickets to come pick them up or whatever, you walk into this amazing glass fishbowl. And if you look to the left, there's WLIF in Baltimore. If you look straight ahead, they are on the air at Mix 106.5. If you look over to your right, it's 105.7 WQSR.
Smoke Man.
If you look to the right, it is us, and we are working on a station called
Live 105.7.
Yeah, they switch frequencies with QSR, so I can't remember. But either way, so when you walked in, you could see into all of the studios that were encompassing CBS Baltimore.
It's pretty cool. So you walk in and grab something. You see all the jocks you've heard of, man. They're on the air. They're doing their thing, right?
Not only that, but, you know, as far as we're concerned, we see the people who win. We see hot women walk in.
And they wave to you. And the truth is, while they wait to, like, if you win tickets, there's whatever paperwork you have to fill out. And in the time, understandably, the way our studio was located, we were the closest one to look at. We're also doing talk, so you didn't just watch someone listening to music. You watch us doing our thing, gesticulate. So people would always stare in.
So our producer at the time, Eric Zink, who's a great guy, absolutely fantastic.
He hated us, but he loved us at the same time.
Fantastic guy. His job was to get us multiple interviews every day. That was the show that we were doing in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So we had celebrities all the time. Matter of fact, John Witherspoon just passed away. We had him on one time. And so, you know, the idea was that the Hustler Club, which is a big deal, was going to come, and they were going to open up a brand new strip club in Baltimore.
Keep in mind, Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler, you know, he signed off on this. You did not do this unless Larry Flint was involved. And Larry Flint was a big deal. And so we knew that was coming. And just understand, to Miles' point about when you walk into the lobby, you can see into the studio. We had seen, and it happens here as well, like Boy Scout troops coming in and they show people around, right?
Yeah.
And it's exciting stuff.
Yeah. So basically, we get an interview with Dennis Hoff. And Dennis Hoff is coming into town, and so is Larry Flint, and the whole deal. And they are going to launch the Hustler Club in Baltimore. Now, what you need to know about this area of Baltimore, where they're going to open up this club, notorious for strip clubs.
It's called The Block, and that's specifically what it is.
Yeah, and The Block is not known for class. It is right across from the Baltimore City Police Department. This is an area where debauchery goes on, but Larry's going to try to upscale this area with
to
a brand
degree,
new.
He did, believe it or
no,
not.
No, he really did. It's a great club. But we know this. Now what we know is that Dennis Hoff.
We have not met him yet. Just know this.
We've since then know him very well. He is the owner of the Bunny Ranch, which is the only legalized brothel in the United States at that time. It's in Carson City, Nevada. He's on a show called Cat House. He's
That's
done
right.
this for
that,
years
yeah, yeah.
on HBO. Some people know him. Some people do not. Either way.
Other people pretend they do not.
He's going to come in, and we're going to do an interview. So, like anything else, as we're prepping the show, you know, things get changed along the way. I believe that one of the problems that they were having was that Dennis's girlfriend, and her name was Sunset Thomas.
I'm sure that's your God-given name. I can feel it.
Yeah.
Your name is not Sunset
Thomas. She was coming too, and one of the problems they had at the airport is she wanted to bring in some of these DeWalt tools that she had because she was going to put on a show with us with power tools.
She would attach sex tools to, like,
follow a jigsaw.
Drills, jigsaw.
Follow a drill. Follow all the things that could be used.
This is her specialty.
Correct. They get hung up at the airport.
They're not cool with that, apparently. Yeah, TSA is like,
But Eric gets word, Eric Zink, he gets word that based on what we're going to do in the studio or who's coming in, that it would be a good idea in this fishbowl for this one interview to put newspapers up along the – and this is very important to the story.
Very important.
Newspapers all along the perimeter of the windows so that when this interview was going on, that you could not see inside that studio.
We don't know anything about Sunset Thomas. It's just a sense that he had. And Miles and I are even looking at him like, why are you so paranoid? And he goes, look, man, one, I get a call from the airport, says they're hung up. We're waiting for Sunset because her power tools and sex toys but won't fly. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah. I just have a feeling about this. And again, because Boy Scouts and other just normal people come in to do their regular business.
And I will give them credit. At that time, CBS was a company that was still on the edge of technology. And when we did the show and we did this, one of the things that they wanted to do very much so was to have webcams.
And this is real new to the world.
Yeah,
they have a webcam real time.
Yeah, but you could watch what's going on in the studio. So our show was broadcast on a webcam.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 2002?
2003 or 4.
Somewhere in there. Okay, but this is new technology. All right. So they come in. It's a great, man, I'll tell you what.
No, wait. Just let's explain one thing. They come in. We do not know either of them. And both of them are very upbeat, very fun, very easy. But as soon as they walked in the studio, and this is no lie, Dennis walks in. Hey, which mic do you want me on? We point out the mic. Sunset. It's not a joke. She's wearing a red dress. I remember this. Immediately pulls it off. Immediately.
There's nothing underneath it.
We haven't started interviewing her yet. Okay?
No.
This is like during the
commercial.
Well,
no, she's naked. This is also his girlfriend.
And she now sits up on the counter. So as we're doing a show talking to the mics, there's a counter in front of us, hold your computers and all that kind of thing. She sits where they are. Picture you're sitting at a desk. She sits on your desk, butt naked, legs spread, and she's facing us, pulls the mic around.
Correct.
This is how we're going to do the interview. We did not know this is going to happen, and I don't have a single complaint.
In the meantime, the new web live streaming services that they've just figured out with, the entire service for CBS Baltimore crashes. There are more hits on this website to watch this webcam and everything else. The entire
Because you said something like, she's nude. Crash.
That's all. That's all it took. And people want to see what's going on. So we know what's going on in the studio. So she cannot bring these toys. We start talking about the opening of the new Hustler Club.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a great conversation with Dennis. Sunset Thomas is in front of her naked.
And she's good, man. She's great on mic.
She has
a lot of fun.
She's awesome.
But she's butt naked. So keep in mind, the whole time we're talking, we are eye level to her perfectly shaved vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's no way around
it. No, she's on the counter in front of us, like a strip club.
In between us. But we had them in for an hour, hour and a half, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time, she's just naked.
Now, things are going off the rails at this point in time. So it's great radio. It's incredible to listen to, but so many people want to watch it that they crash the server. That's fun news to us. We are having a great time with this.
The bosses are mad. You crashed the website. Yeah. We're like, do you know why?
So, okay, Now we have no power tools. All right, but we're not privy to this.
We got produce.
But one thing we do know is they brought in some snacks, some plain whatever, and Sunset has a banana.
Mm-hmm.
So she peels the banana, okay, and then she does what she's going to do with the banana. She de-coats it a couple times, mm-hmm. and then she puts the banana someplace.
And keep in mind,
she's sitting in front of Steve.
Half of it is exposed. The other half is serving as the anchor, if you will.
Correct. Steve decides to
Let's get this very clear. Sunset's feeling very good about this
banana.
Can you see half the banana trick? And then she kind of thrusts her hips toward me and jokingly, I didn't realize she was joking at the time, I jokingly says, do you want to eat the banana? And it turns out I did. Mm-hmm. I did want to eat the banana, Mike. Yep. And guess what? Half of that banana, and I will say this, and I know it sounds ridiculous, part of my lip touched part of her body, and I ate the banana.
You ate half the banana.
I ate half the banana.
Half the banana.
And I remember her response. She couldn't believe I did it. I couldn't believe she couldn't believe I did it.
This is all on the radio, by the way, in its own weird way. We're not exactly saying what's going on, right? So there's half a banana left.
This is where it gets us. Keep in mind. I ate the half banana
that's sticking
that
out.
Is exposed because she said, do you want to do it?
I ate the exposed half the banana.
Yes, I did. And then Miles turned it up a bit.
No, then she slides over to me.
She did not know who she's talking to.
She does not know the disgustingness of me. I go in and eat the other half of the banana.
Now, keep in mind, at the time,
this is live
we thought, man,
this is great.
We're making great radio. Great.
People love this. They did.
We should also know, because we had the newspaper up around the studio, we did not realize that Ted had locked the door to prevent the bosses.
Because they were storming the studio.
They were going to take us off the air.
Ted's got them locked out. All right? And this is true. Like, Ted has the door locked, and he's turned his back.
And he's playing ignorant.
And he's just saying the hell with it, right?
Okay. Was there any kind of listener interaction at all? Text messages?
We didn't need it. We didn't have it.
Then. We knew the website went down.
We had a live webcam.
And Mike, I'm going to be honest with you. At the point you're eating bananas from those places, you don't care.
Okay,
so I don't care what is happening in the outside world.
So, from my perspective, I want to know what people are saying about this. Okay, I want to know the comments. But I will say this,
that's basically the end of the story within that. We finished up
the interview. Was fine.
We did our thing, and we did go to the Hustler Club and did do the grand opening, and it was cool hanging out with Larry Flynn because he was still drinking.
Him a beer.
Dennis was still drinking. Ron Jeremy was there. So,
oh, yeah.
So Larry's like going like, yes, hey, Ron, yeah, over there. Don't invite him to your house because he'll eat all your shrimp. Miles, can you go get me a Captain and Coke? And he's in a wheelchair. So we're hanging out. Great night. We opened up the Hustler Club. It was fantastic. Back to the radio station. We get off the air.
Our boss is
office. We are immediately, basically, dragged into the office.
Our boss, and you can edit it or not edit it, we opened the door, and we're feeling great.
And our boss's name was Bill Pascia, and I hope he really listens to this because he really did us a solid.
He did do us a solid. Here's a guy, we always thought he hated us. And as we went through our career, we realized he had our back all the time. He put us together.
He
got us to Seattle, all this. But we did not know he was doing any of this. So we opened the door. His office is directly across the hall.
Did you?
He pulls us in the office. He slams his door. And he's one of two major bosses you have to answer to at the time. And he sits us down. And you can edit it. But he looks at us and he goes, are you f***ing stupid? I said, Bill, when you ask it like that, it leads me to believe that maybe we
did
are.
Did you eat a banana? No. Do you know you crashed the web server here at CBS Baltimore?
That is not true. He said, did you guys honestly eat the banana? And we're like, hell yeah. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And he goes, if anyone else asks you,
no.
Say no.
No.
It is theater of the mind.
No.
Listen.
This is all theater of the mind. Guys.
You need to get out of here before Bobo Filippo, that is the nickname we have for the jackass we used to work for, before Bobo Filippo finds you because he's looking for you. He is out of his mind, angry. And keep in mind, his first big problem was that we had newspapered the windows. He didn't like that. Then he heard what was going on. And keep in mind, we didn't.
But they couldn't see in. They couldn't walk in. They couldn't do anything.
Because Ted had locked the door. But listen, we did not do. We, honest to God, did not do any of this to be shocking. It's like you live in the moment, man. You live in the moment that you have. She's having fun. Dennis is having fun. We're having fun. The website. Everyone's enjoying this moment. We go with it because, you know what? We are the goddamn curators. They're having a good time.
Yeah. Like, and brother, come on. But it was a great show. It was not just being
it wasn't even necessarily dirty.
No, it was just the idea of a great radio show. So we leave.
We were told
to get out of the building immediately.
For the big boss.
Immediately. Normally we had to work after the show a lot.
He's like, go.
Like, you guys evacuate now. So we evacuate, but we're feeling very good about ourselves because we put on a really good radio show.
We did.
It was a great show.
And kiss my ass to this day.
Yeah.
And I'll eat another banana if it comes up, bro.
And so we get a couple more calls as the night goes on. Oh, God.
It's all bad.
You know, like you're gonna deal with the wrath of Bob when you walk in the next
basically,
day.
Basically, like, you're going to lose your job when you come in.
Exactly.
That was the long and short of it. And,
so Steve and I get together in the morning before we walk in. And we're like, okay, look, we've done the best we could. We did what you did. This is, by the way, a sponsor of the radio station, who puts ads on the air. Hustler was on the air doing commercials, the grand opening of this is a client. We service the client?
Quite literally.
also in front of her boyfriend.
And he was cool.
And keep in mind that Ted became longtime friends with Dennis Hoff.
Yes.
Would go down for his birthday. Ted celebrated his birthday down there.
Until Dennis
Dennis's
died,
birthday.
Right?
Yeah, until Dennis passed
Ted became
away.
Dennis's friend he was, from that moment.
Yeah, correct. Because we were in relationships.
Other than the banana.
You can see you can see where this would be a problem.
It's not the best tasting banana I've ever had.
No.
But I did.
And I will say this. I ate the backside of that banana and didn't get oral herpes.
He was worried about that.
Fantastic.
Because I even looked at Miles. I'm like, dude, you ate the part. You might need some Valtrex.
You got to know me. I don't care. I really didn't care.
But just remember that we had newspapered the studio.
Yeah, we newspapered the studio.
And we're going to come in that morning, and we knew we were about to lose our job.
So everybody that worked on all those radio stations caught wind of the hellfire that was going down, because after we left, Bob came in and just went on a rampage. Just a complete rampage. Like, this is a guy who did not know who Ron Jeremy was.
Who's that sneaky guy?
He's a 40-some-year-old man who had never watched pornography in his life, and he did not know who one of the most famous male stars was. Look, they only had six people.
Right. You know, like, most of them were dead.
If you watched 300 films, there were six guys.
He's one of the guys you've seen in the movie.
And he was the most famous. He's Ron Jeremy. He's the hedgehog. Like, it's like... And all the women were coming up and going like, Bob, I can't believe that Ron Jeremy is here. Like,
oh,
he's like,
God.
I don't even know who he is. Who's Ron Jeremy? Like,
autograph.
Like, why everything. Are you guys like? So this is where his mindset is. This guy does not get it, period.
Hey, he's a lame mother.
Still right. Doesn't, okay, to this very day. Still doesn't get it. All he does is, whatever. So that story for another time. But all the other radio stations.
Well, keep in mind, when we walked into the lobby, we were walking into the lobby knowing
We're
about to lose our job. And we know this. We've heard, and like, people have been killing us all night about it. We walk in and open these doors. And I'll tell you, this, to me, this is my personal best moment in radio. When you said, you know what, man, we're doing something.
If you look over to the left at the light radio station, which was Light
WLIF. That was the station.
Light 102 or something like
Light
that.
Light 101.9.
Light 101.9.
I said it 1,000 goddamn times.
Exactly. Well, I worked there for an overnight. All of their studio windows are covered in newspaper. You look ahead to the mix station, which is the family station.
Mm-hmm.
They're all covered in newspaper. You look to QSR, which was just a slamming dominant oldie station.
Yes.
They are all covered in newspaper. The only station that didn't have newspaper on the windows was the studio that we broadcasted with. And all of our coworkers,
every single one of them,
in solidarity, decided that they were going to do that. Just to make a point.
Tell Bob.
To F off.
Eat a banana.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will say that it stopped us in our tracks. It's so humbling. We walked in like, dude, we're going to lose our job. One thing about me and Miles, and I will say that. We'll lose our job. That's all right, brother. We believe what we do. You can kiss my ass. We will figure it out. But it's still an ugly feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we walk in and we saw that. And everyone, and these are the old school people of Baltimore. These are the people whose names were known. We're trying to make a name for ourselves. They all listened to us because they didn't do anything interesting, right? They know the balls didn't do anything. They listened to our show. They were as intrigued by that particular episode as we were. And like I said, we didn't plan it. We didn't know what happened. But to walk in and see all of these studios, newspaper to tell Bob, to tell Bob, I'll stop there. I won't give his last name. Say, F you. So this dude, Bob, comes down the hall, and there's a bit of a wry smirk on his face, I guess is the way to put it. Another one. A bit of a wry.
This is my second beer, dude.
Whatever. As far as they know. The wry smirk on his face to say the only reason you guys did not lose your job. And he said this
was because of our coworkers.
Because when I when he got to work that morning, everyone basically just told him, hey, man, go F yourself. Mm-hmm. What they did was good. And all of us are saying, we will go down with them if you got a problem with that. And, man, I'm telling you, that
then
is.
Then we got drug into our office. And there was two people in there, Bill Pasha and a guy named Josh Medlock, who works for Premier Radio Group, their syndication company.
And we love Josh to death. He hated us when we worked there.
Because we put him through crap. But we're good friends now.
Yes.
And he was just, you know, flabbergasted. He's just trying to do his job. He's the program director of our radio station. We're effing this whole thing up. And the one thing that that Pasha says is he's like, this never happened. And from that moment in time.
Never brought it up again.
That incident never happened.
He would not bring it up in the station. It was not brought up in the studio.
It never. None of the stuff that we just told you. Ever actually happened. And that is episode 3 of the greatest story never told. R.I.P. Dennis Hoff.
Yeah, man, for sure.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told with Miles and Thrill on radio.com.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.